chapter number 4 tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and we're going to read at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 1. Corinthians 4:1 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel," or the gospel of the glory of Christ, "who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And that will do with God's blessing. Apostle Paul, when he wrote these words, was thinking about his own conversion. There's no doubt about it. He was thinking about going down the Damascus Road. He was thinking about having the letters in his hand to put Christians into prison. He was thinking about how he stood by and he saw a man called Stephen being the first martyr, and all the people put their clothes at his feet. He was thinking about how he hated Christians. And he was thinking about how the great bright shining light came out of heaven. And he was arrested in his tracks and he fell on his face. And he heard these words, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I tell you, it was never the same after that. Never the same. You remember he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus, who you're persecuting. And it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, kick against the goads, the things you would maybe put into an animal to make it move. God says, I'm pricking you, I'm goading you, and you're finding it hard. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" Oh, a big movement took place in the Damascus Road. He saw the resurrected Christ. He saw the resurrected Christ. And he started calling him Lord. The man that he despised before, he called him Lord. And he says, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" And from that day forward, Saul of Tarsus became who we know as Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he served the man that he despised. And he loved the man that he despised. And he preached the man that he despised. And when he writes these words here, "Seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy," he's saying, "I got mercy in the Damascus Road. That's where I got it." And he says, "I'll never, ever forget it." I want to say, anybody in this room who's ever been converted to Christ will not forget when it happened. They'll not forget the place. They'll not forget the time. I'm not saying you'll always remember the day, but you will remember the moment you trusted Christ. It doesn't just happen in your sleep or not, you know. It is a moment where there is conviction of sin. Why are you kicking against the goads? It's a moment when you see who the Lord Jesus really is. He's God. He's a resurrected man who died for me. And there's a moment when you accept him as your Saviour and you call him Lord. Have you ever had a moment like that? Paul did. I have. And I'm going to tell you, every Christian has. And if you haven't, you've never received mercy. Paul says, "That's what I needed." He says, "I was a wicked man." He calls himself in another place the chief of sinners. He says, I hated Christians. He says, "But God had mercy on me." Mercy means I deserve judgment, but I didn't get it. And can I tell you, that's true of us all. He says, "See now," he says, "I don't get involved in craftiness. I don't have a ministry that tries to handle the word of God deceitfully. No, no, no," he says, I don't want, he says, to put the wool over your eyes. He says, I want you to have the real thing. He says, because I got the real thing on the Damascus Road. And he says, I want you to have the real thing. He says, I'm not going to be trying to turn this book into a way of making money. He says, I'm not going to be interested in folks' wallets. He says, I'm not going to turn the word of God and make it a deceitful thing. No, no, no. He says, I'm much more interested in not people becoming religious, but people having a true relationship with a true God. And he says, so all that crafty business I got up to before I was a Christian, he says, it's all gone. And he says, now I want you all to have the reality of God's salvation. I want you to have the reality of sins forgiven. He says, I want you to have the reality of a hope in heaven. I want you to have the reality of Christ as your Savior. He says, if I hide the gospel, he says, that's a serious thing. He says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Oh, Paul, what's motivating you to make sure your message is understood by everybody? What's motivating you? He says, because people are going to be lost otherwise. Saturday night, I came back from this golf seminar, and I thought it was too complicated. I have to tell you, as a Christian preacher, it's about the worst thing you could ever be. Because men and women are dying in their sins. And you can't be too simple. So I want to be simple tonight. I want to be honest with you all. It's not my words now. It's the words of God. You're lost. This side, you're lost. All of us, lost. See, that's a strong word, isn't it? I mean, as a kid, the only time I ever remember being lost was in Asda's. And that felt bad enough, you know. And I had to get the intercom over, get my mum and dad to come to a certain place to pick me up. I used to always remember, you know, thinking, where am I, you know. And just, it was in Asda's, getting lost. You can't believe it. Still remember the fear, though. Maybe you'd been lost out in a moor somewhere. This idea of being unaware of where you are and how you can get back to a place of safety is a very disconcerting feeling. Some of you may have experienced it more than others. But put yourself in the position of now being spiritually lost. And that is to say, you don't know how to get to a place of safety. And you know there's a real hell. I tell you, once you realise and waking up to the fact that you're lost, that's when you start shouting out for help. That's when you look for a saviour. That's when you look for a redeemer. That's when you look for safety. That's when you look for salvation. But until you get that point, you'll never get it. Says Paul, he says, I'll tell you another reason why I want to make sure my gospel is understood by everyone. He says, there's the God of this world, and he's blinding the minds of them which believe not. Now, the God of this world is the only time you get this in the scriptures, and it's a reference to the devil. You see, this world, I have to tell you, is not worshipping the true God. The God of this age is worshipping a different God. It's worshipping the devil himself. They don't know it, but they are. It's exactly what's going on. You see, I thought the devil was, you know, horns and all. You know, you'll discover when you come to the scriptures, he was the most beautiful creature. He was an anointed cherub. And he's very subtle. The first words he says is, has God said? He's very clever. And he doesn't always appear, you know, in the ways that we think of him in darkest witchcraft. By the way, there's plenty of witchcraft in Bissau. I've discovered that going around the doors. But he doesn't always appear. Sometimes he appears in a nice Sunday suit, in a shirt and tie, in a church gathering. And he dupes people to thinking that as long as they keep coming to religious services, everything's going to be okay. He's called the God of this world, and what he's doing is blinding the minds of them which believe not. He's putting a blindfold over people's eyes. He doesn't want you to know the true gospel. He doesn't want you to have the experience that Saul of Tarsus had on the Damascus Road. He doesn't want you to have the light of the world. And so he whispers in your ear, there isn't really a God anyway. they're all right. And the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He whispers in your ear, you don't have to get too serious about this now. You've got loads of time. And the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what day shall bring forth. He says to you, you're actually quite a good person. You're better than most people. You know, to be honest with you, God will be very happy with how you've lived your life. And the Bible says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He'll say to you, there's no real any hell. Sure, a loving God wouldn't put anybody in hell. You're all right. And the Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see what he's doing, ladies and gentlemen? He's blindfolding you. I think there's quite a few of you in this tent tonight. You've heard the gospel many times. This isn't the first time you've heard the gospel of the grace of God. I'm going to tell you, I believe the devil's been putting a blindfold over your eyes. Because if you hadn't, you'd be saved already. If you really understood how perilous your situation was and just how lost you are, you'd be crying out for a saviour. But you leave out the tent another time, another Dulcimera, unsaved. And what you're unaware has happened is the God of this world has just blinded you one more time. He's whispered into your head one more time. We have conversations with people and they say, I'd love to be saved, but... And the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. No buts, make it top priority. And I wonder if you understand just what it means to be eternally lost. There's a book of poetry, you know, it's called Caravanserai. And in it, it's a Scottish poet. He dies at you, and he wrote a book, a poem about a little boat. And I can't quote it all, but, you know, it's the idea of this little boat, and it's floating out to sea. And you see the little boat going out, and then the mists come down on me, and such a little boat, and such a sea. Dark, dark, impenetrably deep and stark, the great gulf yawned beyond and gaunt and stark. And it begins to picture this boat going out into the ocean and out into the waves and the darkness. And then it's saying it ends with, lost in eternity. And you discover you're the little boat. And there's a real eternity that you can be lost in. Says Paul, I want my gospel to be heard, because the God of this world is blinding the minds of them which believe not, because you're not willing to believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He says, he doesn't want the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine to you. He doesn't want you to know that God so loved the world that he gave. He doesn't want us to know that the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He doesn't want you to hear about a man who was compassionate and kind called the Lord Jesus. He doesn't want to hear about Calvary when he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He doesn't want to hear about an empty grave when he rose from the dead. He doesn't want to hear how he could come into your life today and change you for all eternity. But I want to tell you it's true. And really, our job as preachers is to tell you of the gospel of the glory of Christ. You know what? There's no glory like his. Anybody who looked into heaven and saw his glory were on their face. You know that? Isaiah 6 tells us that. Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he says, I saw the Lord. And he says, what happens next? He's on his face saying, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And you'll discover that everyone who gets a little glimpse of God's glory, they're on their face. And that was the glory the Lord Jesus had before he came into this world. When he came into the world, he became a real man. And there was a glory he had as a man. John says, we beheld his glory. The glories of an only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here was the creator of the universe working as a carpenter in a carpenter's shop. Staggering, isn't it? Absolutely staggering. The one who was the original cause of everything, conversing with other human beings. The one who made everything, crying and weeping and groaning and sighing. The one who opens his hands to satisfy the desire of every living thing. And it says he was hungry, and he was thirsty, and he was wearied. That's a glory, you know. The glory of humility is. A real man. A real man who went to a real cross, and was really impaled with real nails that he really felt were put through his hands and feet. And in hours of darkness, he bore our sins in his own body in the tree. What a saviour he is. And then God raised him from the dead on the third day. And 40 days later, he ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says, he says, sit down at my right hand. And he's waiting until his enemies be made the footstool of his feet. And one day he's going to say to him, roll thou. And now you see, he speaks about the glory which he had with him before the world was. But now there is both that essential glory of Christ and that acquired glory as a manhood brought together in one glorious person. And I would love you to know him. And I don't know why you've waited so long to get to know him. Because the gospel of the glory of Christ is shining to you right now. Says Paul, I'm not preaching myself. He says, there's no point you turning to me. I have absolutely no power to convert you. There is no power in any priest or any preacher or any pope or even the Apostle Paul. He says, I preach not myself, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He says, it's him and him alone that can save you. And when people say, you know, well, I think I'm going to get to heaven because, you know, I've done this and that, and I've been to this church and I've done that, and these are all good things, but I'll tell you, unless you've got Christ as your Saviour, you have nothing, my friend. Nothing. He says, the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Can you see the day when in the great amorphous universe, in the great amorphous lump of earth, God said, let there be light. And the light of creation beamed across creation. And he put sun and moon and stars across. He put trillions of stars into each galaxy. That God who sent the light in creation can send the light into your heart. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. What an amazing verse this is. To give the light, to shine forth the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And now, he says, that God who shone into the creation light can shine it right into your heart. Christianity isn't just an external suit we put on. It's an internal revolution that takes place. He puts the light right in us. It's Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You can go and see that painting along there in Keble College in Oxford for yourself. I am the light of the world by Holman Hunt. And there it is. And he's standing outside an old door. It was a brother Jonathan that first took me to see it. You can also see it in St. Paul's Cathedral, just as you go in the door on the left-hand side, there's two copies. And the thing that impressed me as I studied it again was how dirty the door was. How dirty the door was. Holman Hunt was asked, why is the door so dirty? He says, I wanted to depict just how hard the human heart is against God. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to come into your life and give you the light of the world. He only wants to bless you. But some of you here, and that door's been hard, fast shut, gospel meeting after gospel meeting. You've been hard now. I want to tell him it's hurt him. Because he cares about you. And he loves you. And he's died for you. And he wept for a city that rejected him. And I believe it hurts him to see your heart so hard. And he's sitting outside and he's knocking. We used to sing with the boys and girls, at your heart's door, the Saviour's knocking. At your heart's door, fast closed by sin. Don't you hear him? Gently knock it. Draw the bolt and let him in. That's what he wants to do. Shined in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face Jesus Christ. Remarkable. Maybe someone here though, and you're saying, well, that's all right, Craig, but the reason why I've sat in gospel meetings and not got saved is quite simply this. I just couldn't keep up. You don't realise just how weak I am. You don't realise how vulnerable I am. If you only knew the vices that were in my life, if you only knew the things I'm trying to work out, if you only knew just how weak I am, you wouldn't be saying to me to get saved tonight. Well, Paul answers that in the next verse, doesn't he? He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, clay pots, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He says, I want to tell you, he says, see when I was walking down Damascus Road to put Christians into prison, see when I was there standing by when Stephen was stoned to death, he says, don't be thinking I was a strong person, spiritual. I was weak. When I was marching down the Damascus Road, you know, he says, don't be thinking that when I got saved that day that I was some sort of strong person. He says, I was on my face, crying out, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He says, I'm just a clay vessel. It's just a clay pot, very fragile. He says, but the Lord God's put a treasure inside me. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to have Christ as your Saviour. It really is. It's a wonderful thing to have the treasure of salvation inside you. And it is a treasure. We're just paupers, all of us. But he's put a treasure inside us. And what I didn't realise is, because I was young when I became a Christian, I was young when I got saved, that the very moment I repented of my sins, and the very moment I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Saviour, yes, he forgave all my sins. Thank be to God he forgave all my sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. Absolutely. What a wonderful Saviour. And yes, he gave me the guarantee of heaven. And that's a wonderful blessing too. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where you I am, there you may be also. And that was true too. That was great. But I also received eternal life. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I also received the Holy Spirit. A divine person came right in me. Ephesians 1:13, upon believing, you received the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, although I still have all of these vulnerabilities in my life, like everyone else, I have a new power. A new power. In this clay pot, in this fragile human frame with all its failings, have a new power and divine life to live a different kind of life for God. And can I say, ladies and gentlemen, one day this clay pot is going to change that, and it's going to be transformed like into his own body of glory. That's what Philippians 3:21 tells us. We're going to get a body like Christ. But I'll never fail again. I'll never falter again. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to make you want salvation by the Spirit of God. That's what I'm trying to do. And I can't do that. Only the Spirit of God can do that in your life. But I'm warning you. There are some of you sitting here, and you've listened to many, many gospel sermons, and the God of this world is blinding the minds of them which believe you. And you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I gave a man a tract last year, and I said last week that man was on the way to the rail tracks to take his life. There's a man in the tent tonight who told me the day he got saved, the weeks and the days that were past, many, many times he thought of taking his life. You don't know just how wicked the God of this world is. You don't know just how wicked that blindfold is and the places he'll take you if you don't get saved. And don't be thinking because you're in the body, you'll have another chance. You may not have the sense and you may not have the mental faculties to do it. But God is giving you the mental faculties right now. And he's giving you the opportunity right now. And the God who commands the light to shine out of darkness, to shine in your hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And yes, the devil will try to blindfold the minds of them which believe not, but the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is still shining, who is the image of God. And I would love you to come to the light today, come to the Lord Jesus for salvation. The choice is either being lost or found. They said that was when the Titanic sunk, that was exactly what happened. They put up two signs, one called lost, the other called found. And loved ones, when they came to the two signs, of course, were one time to see the names of their loved ones on the list of names under found. But so many had to see the names of their loved ones under the list under lost. And that was a tragic incident over 100 years ago in our country. But how much more tragic in the light of eternity to be lost? And so it is a decision that's been taking place today. A decision on your chair before God right now. Lost or found. Your sin or the Saviour. Darkness or the light. Hell or heaven. It's as stark as that. It's as real as that. Your prayer is that as we've tried to make it simple, and I trust before God we have, we plead with you and we beseech you in Christ's name. We pray that you'll come just as you are. It's a simple sinner to the Lord Jesus for salvation today. We God bless you.